Hey everybody, it's John, and winter is upon us. So that means we're going to be stuck inside for, I guess, the next couple of months. If you want to drink along like we do on the show, go to stealthisbeer.com and check out our merch shop where you can buy black glasses that we will ship out to you in a very safe and sanitary way. They'll show up on your door a day or two later, and then you can have somebody else in your house pour beers for you blind, and you can taste along just like you were playing along with the show at home. We also have Tiku glasses, and we have some regular STB shirts, as well as our fifth anniversary shirts, which will turn into our sixth anniversary show, hopefully live in person at some point. But again, go to stealthisbeer.com and check out our merch section, and thanks for your support.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer. I am Augie Carton.
Hello.
That's John Hall. Hi, John Hall.
Oh, yo. Hi. How are you?
How are you in your dulcet tones today? You're sounding very chill. Did you have a cool week?
I had a relatively peaceful week. You know, my nerves were a little more calm. And despite the fact that I have a basement full of Justin branded tote bags that we really need the thieves to step up.
We got to get to that. I was waiting for that.
Buy. But, you know, aside from that, I'm feeling no pain these days.
Good. Can I ask you a question before we get to Justin?
Please.
And Cask? Did your weekly package of beers that shows up every month or so have 16 to 20 non-Justin tote bags in it for no apparent reason?
You mean the Target branded ones? Yes.
And as a matter of others.
And one reusable plastic, you know, corner store bag that I will now use when I'm walking the dog around the neighborhood.
I think one of you guys got the Goldfish Swim Academy.
That's me. That's me. So as the thieves at home know, somehow this thing always arrives. Even though I get 900 Amazon packages a week, the beer arrives to my youngest son, Cassidy, and my wife, and I'm never informed. But so they now have the habit of just putting it wrapped in its foil into my kegerator fridge, and then when I come in on recording day, I find the numbers, pull those out, sit down, just as I've done today. I got the weirdest reaction when I came home, whatever day it was, let's say Thursday, where Cassie's like, "Daddy, all the beer's in really weird bags, and I'm nervous that means Justin ran out of foil, so I just put the bags in the fridge."
And first of all, that's awesome.
I'm like, first of all, Cassidy, 12-year-old Cassidy is better than 2020 Kennedy across the board. Way to be thorough and considerate. But anyway, so that we'll get to that.
I love the idea of Justin running around his apartment on shipping day being like, need packing material. What do we got? Like
exactly
one of these things,
happened.
We're just going to get boxer shorts. Yep. And
well, you know that bag of bags everybody has under their kitchen?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what's left.
That's exactly what you guys got. Exactly.
All right. Anyway, Cass, how are you doing?
Fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah. You lit up, Cass? You already at it?
No, not yet.
You're on your fourth. Do you like pina colada of the day?
Cass is high on life.
Halfway. Yeah. 9% coffee stout from our friends at the Seed.
Is life a new strain I don't know about?
Yes.
Right on. Anyway, let's introduce Mr. Evan Price of Green Cheek. How are you, sir? Thank you for joining us. Evan, you're from Orange County, which there's a whole show about, right? The OC?
Yeah, there was at one point. I'm not sure at what point that stopped airing, but that was I don't know if that was popular when I was in college. I can't remember. It was definitely earlier on, but the OC, what a terrible show.
Do people still reference that all the time in the same way that people reference the Jersey Shore for our beloved state?
I believe that is a thing, you know, like I feel like I still reference Jersey Shore, but I get annoyed whenever someone references the OC, so I can understand anyone being annoyed by those references.
Well, it's my problem with it is, and I'm old enough that I blur decades. So these two things might not have actually happened at the same time, but in my brain they did. I was a fan of that weird chopper building show, which takes place in an Orange County. And then I would see the ads for that show we were just talking about. And I had a real problem that these two realities could remotely exist in the same space, not realizing, obviously, there can be more than one Orange County in the world. But so I would look at the angry chopper building fathers yelling at each other in a warehouse in t-shirts, and then, you know, beautiful people running around in dramatic scenes. And I'd be like, this, somebody's lying to me about what Orange County looks like, and I can't figure out which one of them it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, now whenever I see it, my head goes to Sunny or motorcycle. So you're Sunny.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think we have both of those things, you know, only that's it. Just those that's two it. Things. Nothing else.
Sun and motorcycles.
Yeah.
Somebody should have told those chopper builders there was sun outside. They were really pasty. Anyway, speaking of which, it is a bitter cold day here on the East Coast.
Sure
I
is.
I already stacked wood. I'm so cold.
Oh man, it's really
how is
cold
it out
over
there?
Here.
Yeah,
check the weather.
68.
Check the weather here. I mean, today I had to put on my rain jacket because it's one of the very few times it actually rained over here. Whoa, 54. Oh my god. Shit. Yep.
Oh my god.
But it's cold. I'm gonna move.
Hold on. Hold on. We'll pause so you can go get out your thermals.
I absolutely have the heater on. I'm such a wimp. I mean like outdoor dining and stuff like that can still sort of happen. It's not supposed to, the whole situation, I see like some memes here and there of like someone trying to do like outdoor dining in New York during this pandemic. And they're just like, you know, it's fucking snowing, or it's like there was this one video that I saw of some kind of like Italian restaurant in New York, and the guy is like pretending to order something, and the guy goes to pour him a glass of wine, and all the wine's coming out of the bottle, and this wind gust of wind is just taking all of the wine elsewhere, and it was it's the exact opposite of what's happening over here in regards to weather.
I love, so obviously being people from the area, we have New York City friends who are doing that. And it's funny how many friends I have that had full like Rocky era movie Cossack gear just sitting in their apartments in New York City for eating outside when a pandemic came. I've got friends that own beaver pelt hats, which I thought we hadn't made since, you know, 1380 or whatever. And
that wasn't just hipster irony.
You know I have one, right, Augie?
Well, of course you do, but let's face it, you still source your aluminum foil from the Astor estate. So that totally makes beaver pelt sense. So let's talk about one of the things I think you just touched on when you said they're not even supposed to do is something I'm hoping an indigenous California brewer with multiple brewer experience in the area can help shed some light on for me. I am aware you guys have a very shitty situation with your governor and your laws. And how we would explain it in New Jersey is somehow at the inception of liquor laws, Jersey winemakers marketed themselves as farmers and Jersey beer makers marketed themselves as industrialists.
Sure.
And we have a whole different set of laws for exactly the same thing because some are farm laws and some are, manufacturing laws. What's going on with you guys right now? Because they've really made it almost impossible for you guys to survive this as far as service goes, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's pretty impossible. This entire situation where, you know, we are in the middle of a pandemic, and I totally am willing to go along with all of the, you know, roll with the punches of whatever that is, right? So it's like, if you're telling me to be closed, cool, I'll close down. If you're telling me that I can do on-site dining, cool, I'll do on-site dining. But I think the hardest part that comes along with all of what that is that, you know, there hasn't been any financial help in any, you know, for what, 6 months, 7 months? And so yeah. 8 months, seven, yeah, I think, yeah, 6 months for sure. And so from the last like PPP loan. And so it's just like, you know, just one of those things to where everything's kind of gone pretty rogue, where there's been this statewide mandate for all on-site eating and drinking to be closed down as of like, I want to say the beginning of December was the newest sort of shutdown. And, you know, it's just, it gets complicated from there. Like, you know, for us and our two breweries, we have one in Orange and we have one in Costa Mesa. We unfortunately had the dumb luck of opening a brewery in January of last year, our second brewery. And so we
he got like 3 or 4 good weeks, maybe.
Oh yeah. We got like 5 good weeks, and then
it did you get a second turn out of a lager tank?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I mean, the production side of things has been interesting for sure, but like we had to, you know, immediately, you know, we shut down, we had to lay off half of the staff because we have so much front of the house and kitchen people involved. And then, you know, as things changed throughout the year, we were able to bring them back on. And then like July hit, or June, I can't remember now. And we had to lay off half the staff again because of shutdowns. And then like, you know, and then we were able to hire everybody back like a month and a half later. And like, you know, and then December hit. And then again, we had to lay off staff and slim down. And like, it's just such a rough situation for our employees, for the community, for, you know, for us, like, and so anyway, we're shut down at both of our locations, but like, you know, here in Orange County and, you know, it's crazy where just every restaurant or bar has decided upon themselves whether or not they're going to follow the rules. And a lot of places, I don't know, let me throw out a dumb number of like 50% or 40% of places are just going like, no, man, we're staying open. Like,
is that you being generous or conservative with the number?
I don't know, man. It's a wild ass guess. So I just know, like, you know, if I go down to, you know, in Orange, there's the what's called the Orange Circle, which is a pretty popular, like, cool old town spot. Super, like, it's one of the few places in Orange County that actually has like historical character. And every place is just bustling with, you know, outdoor dining. Some of the places have indoor dining, and like, it is, you know, the attraction of Orange. And it just goes to show you that like, there's absolutely no enforcement of any of these rules or laws that are coming in place. And so, yeah, there's a rumor that the ABC is going through and quietly like giving these people like warnings, and if they don't, you know, shut down, they just won't be renewing their license. And so it's all like being done in this really weird way, but
like quiet, you know, warnings and then like one and done.
I don't know. I'm confused by all of it too. And so like, I'm trying to take like, you know, these rumors and this information that comes along and, you know, only for like what it's worth, and instead of, you know, whatever else. But I just like, it's a hard time to decide what the right thing to do is when, you know, we've had such a tough time on the, you know, from our governor, continuing to come out with, you know, different pretty harsh mandates that like are more severe than the rest of the country. And like, to where there, you know, no, financial help, for all of these restaurants that are being told to close. It's just like, it's impossible, dude. It's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And that just sucks. Yeah. I just, like I said, it seems as bad as it is for everybody. It seems uniquely bad for breweries in California. Let me change topics a little to get a feel for, you know, kind of bigger picture. Because one of the things, even just in listening to you talk, everything you said, I had to try to contextualize per Jersey's set of rules before I could truly comprehend, you know what I mean? Because that's just the nature of what we all do. And no matter what you think you know, like there's this dumb thing out here where Pennsylvania, for some reason, calls something a package store or a...
It's a state store. It's a control.
No. But they have some term that it's like wholesaler or one of those words that means something in 49 states and something different in Pennsylvania. And almost every interaction you have with somebody who makes beer in New Jersey, talking to somebody in Pennsylvania, there's a learning curve of they don't mean what that word means in your state. And until you learn that, you're having a different conversation. So that's just the phrasing of what's going on. But so in terms of, like in New Jersey, you have the choice of being a brew pub or a brewery, and never the two shall cross. So like I can't make and serve food. So, but for you in your context, with your mission going into it, and you have some brew pub in your history, right? Didn't you brew at a pretty well-known brew pub out there before you went out on your own? Am I wrong on that?
Yeah. A brew called Taps.
Okay, but so that would be what we identify as brew pub, but you were still going to serve food, right? What part of your intended business opening January last year was going to be kegs in your own bar versus kegs out in other bars? You know what I mean? Like what was the split, theoretically?
Yeah, we, you know, the goal for us as a brewery is to sell as much beer direct to consumer as possible. And distribute the least amount as possible. And so, you know, I don't know. I have this strange sort of view that, you know, I don't want to spin my wheels distributing beer. And instead, I view it as like a marketing tool. So, you know, this us sending kegs out into the world, like, is just, you know, reminding people that we exist and that we make beer and that, hey, maybe you should come by and visit sometime.
Oh, cool. Okay. Now, is a next level of that same question is how much of that is cans out your door and how much of that is in glasses in your house? Ideally, not obviously in this fucked up situation you've just described to us.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, pre-pandemic, we were probably like draft versus cans was probably like 80 or 90%. Draft, and then, you know, 10 or 20% cans. Yeah. And then, you know, now we're at a, you know, 100% cans, maybe 95%. We keg off a really small amount of beer, just essentially when I don't order enough labels. And so, that changes things, but, it's been weird during the pandemic, you know, I mean, like we, and you know, I'm sure other breweries can relate to this, but, right when the pandemic hit around March, and then everyone started really, you know, taking the stay-at-home orders very seriously instead of this like fatigue that I feel like we're at right now. Our production doubled, and we were just trying to keep up. And so we were doing the largest size batches we'd ever done of certain beers, and really just like taking the opportunity to, you know, I don't know, get ready for the winter, I guess. But we kind of went through that pattern, and then we continue to see things like slowly trickle down, maybe as people realize that they're probably drinking too much and they needed to pump the brakes. At least that's
drinking wait drinking too much.
I know thing? At least that's myself, you know, as I'm drinking at 10 o'clock in the morning talking to you guys.
But professional. This is a job.
Yeah, you can write this off on your taxes.
Speaking of which,
that's a good segue into my taxes.
You guys,
wait, Justin sent you three cans?
Segue into, Justin.
No, free.
Free.
Not three. Sorry,
that Orange County accent gets me every time.
Recycle the aluminum foil. Justin uses only the finest boutique.
How do you, How do you say orange?
Orange.
Orange.
Oh man. Oh, that's so great.
It drives me crazy too.
That's why I was saying orange. Orange.
There is saying it correctly. I don't understand why you're confused.
Say it with the letters that are in it.
What about like tomato?
Tomato.
What about tomato?
Okay. I just, you know, I'm just making sure.
We're not doing tomato. This isn't like oyster and erster. Like it's, we're just saying orange correctly.
Orange, the way it's written. And you're saying is if you feel really bad about the range.
But you guys say it like it starts with an A.
Orange. No, we say it like it starts with an O. He's saying it like it starts with an OW.
Hey, Augie.
Let's see.
Yeah.
What brings us together?
So wait, hold on. You just nailed it, John. He's saying it like it's spelled A-U. R-A-N-G-E, like my name. And we're saying it like it's spelled O-R-A-N-G-E.
Orange. No way.
You're saying orange. You're saying orange. Like Augie, orange. Anyway. And, then, and we're saying orange, like, you know, like
if,
the letter
if
O.
If you guys anyway, listen like quietly enough right now, you can hear everybody turning
everybody
off.
Everybody hitting stop. Yeah, yeah, I heard it's like when you used to try to record tape to tape and you'd hit stop on all five buttons at once. I just heard that sound.
And superfan Tim Hitchings has abandoned us at this point.
Anyway, tapes just right, you know. Mixtapes were always difficult to try to pull off.
They're a big thing these days, Spotify playlists. I've been finding good ones. Anyway. Back to the beer. So it brings us together on Steal This Beer is a candid conversation of beer. What it is and not what we hoped it'd be. What it's doing and not what we were told it would do. And to facilitate that, we drink blind. So I believe in this situation, everybody playing the game, which is myself, John, and Evan, have beers obfuscated in the finest boutique tin foil from Brooklyn. From Mr. Justin Kennedy.
That's right.
John and I are drinking out of our black glasses. What are you drinking out of, Evan? A mug of some kind? Or are you in clear glass?
No. I'm in an opaque Highland Park Stein.
I love this. Perfect. Ooh. So your color's obfuscated as well.
I like that. Bob has his own opaque Steins.
Oh man. I mean, yeah. I got the. I'm fully ripping them off, and I got some coming out soon because this one is just. Continue to be one of my favorite mugs that I have here.
Is it one of those like proper clay drinking mugs?
Yeah, just a ceramic, you know, ceramic stein. There's like two different ones that Grandstand offers. One that's made in the States that's half the price, and then one's made in Germany that's twice the price, and like they're almost nearly identical. So I went with the half the price one myself. But anyway, sorry, go ahead. You're talking.
You're giving us good merch ideas.
Yeah, I was going to say new merch.
They can sit in my basement alongside Justin's tote bags and our fifth anniversary shirts.
Exactly.
Ooh, yeah. You can tell that people are buying a lot of those, huh?
That's right. It's a big time for
stealthisbeer.com/merch.
But anyway, you've just hit on a topic someday we should talk about where it's how that works. Where I'm like, hey, this is a cool glass. Let's print up 50, 100 of these and sell them in the tasting. Like, okay, Augie, you've chosen a German glass. The minimum order is $10,444. The shipping is $80 a glass, and you can retail them around $10,000. I'm like, but glasses don't cost that much. Like, here's the one from America. And I'm like, that's the same fucking glass. Why did they even tell you about this German thing? Like you're talking about. Anyway, so I'll go first. We've already hit all the highlights. I am smelling, you know, it's fun. There's an interest, you know, I always like the interesting smell.
Uh-huh.
When you drink wine at night with, let's say, your significant other, or your friends, and the next morning you come to clean up, everybody who finished their wine, there's that little dried red wine in the dimple that, you know, that's fun to smudge with your finger when you're a kid, but whatever. And it's, no matter what red wine went in the glass, that next morning it just smells like, oh, that's dried out last night's red wine in the dimple of a stemmed wine glass. This beer has that smell to it to me.
It is oddly specific.
But it smells it. See if you get it.
I get the same sort of thing except for a coffee cup. Like a coffee cup that you come to revisit that is fully empty. however long, much longer later, and then you take a smell of that, and it's like, oh, that's you know, that kind of
exactly. Yeah. But
an old coffee from your coffee cup that's dried out is kind of like you know, seems like a dig, but
no, I know exactly what you mean, and you're right. I'm going to take yours now that you've pointed it out and I've smelled it. It's as if it were like Senka, though, not even like particularly. There's like this berry thing to it, I think, which is why I was in wine. It's anyway, but the palate's very different. I just thought that was a unique aroma I was getting off it that was fun to address before John Hall told me what he smells.
Well, I'm
you point out an interesting thing, though, about the aroma where there's possibly a little bit more fruit than I gave credit to.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've got the fruit bit, just a tiny bit of like black currant or something just a little bit red.
Ooh, yeah, I was thinking plum, you know.
Okay, yeah.
So much of
what
that.
What about you?
So much of that seems like malt derived from, you know, this sort of light coffee roast where, you know, it's not over acidic. It does have those sort of, you know, red berry undertones to it, but still very, very faint. I don't know. This is such like an easy drinking, what I'm guessing is a brown ale, that's just sort of fun and light on the palate and just sort of the antithesis of a day like today, because like we're all bundled up and everything is freezing, but this is sort of making me think of springtime and, you know, a nice warm breeze as opposed to, you know, an imperial stout, which would have drove home today. But there's this fun, very light, not gourmet type coffee thing going on with it, that I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, I agree with you. My only thing about the ale thing is I'm not getting really any fermentation esters at all on the nose.
You think it might be a
tiny bit of, except maybe a tiny bit of diacetyl at the top, which blew off quickly, but just a little tiny bit that made me think maybe it was a British ale before I tasted it. But yeah, and then there's this peroxide-y scrub to the finish that we all know I like.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it's either Schwarzbier or some kind of fuckery with a Kolsch ferment.
I'm messed up on Schwarzbiers in my head these days only because I remember talking to...
Wait, why did Justin just laugh at you?
No, I was laughing at you.
Oh, okay, okay.
That was Evan, that wasn't me.
I just like the fuckery of a Schwarzbier comment. I don't know how deep that reference is, but it's just a funny comment.
Here's my mind, just to explain that to you. In my mind, so the yeast most prevalent in my house is Kolsch because I use it on a session beer called Boat. And then we also, when we want to give a little bit of a spine backbone to a New England malt bill, we use Kolsch instead of Conan. And find it does that. But so we're always doing it. But often we talk about, well, with all this Kolsch in the house, shouldn't we just make a Kolsch? And then I go, why does the world need us making Kolsches? There's so many good Kolsches out there. And then I say, what if we did like a bag of smoked malt in a Kolsch and did an otherwise perfectly clear, you know, Rausch Kolsch? Then that might be something funny to play with. And in my head, that might be what somebody did here, except I think this is a browner beer because I saw the colors I was pouring it. It was definitely, you know, light brown.
What I was going to say, though, just is I remember talking with Alexandra, the brewer at Three Weavers a couple years ago about dark lagers and Schwarz beers. And her big thing driving it home was, you know, there shouldn't be a strong roast character to that beer. Like as far as, you know, stylistically goes. So when I get a roast like this, it's hard for me to train my brain to think beyond, you know, like a brown ale or something like that, because
I get it. I'm
not thinking there should be roast there, but
let me ask Evan a question. Evan, as a brewer, when you're writing a recipe and, you know, I always try to explain to the thieves at home so how big is your brew house, Evan?
We have a 25 barrel, all right, at one spot, and then a, I don't know, 18 barrel, 20 barrel at the other spot.
Okay. So you're bigger than me. I'm at 15, but similarly sized. So I'm always thinking in terms of bags, right? So you write your whole thing up and then you're like, well, what if we threw a bag of X in? And when you're doing something like a Schwartz beer and you're in that area where you're really only trying to make 15 to 20% of your fans happy, right? These are for the people that drink in your tasting room.
Yeah. For like, the brewers. Like 1 to 2%. Yeah.
Right. But once you're already, in that groove, that's when you take some liberties. Like, fuck it. Let's throw half a bag of Black Patent and see what that does. Knowing that you're going to be adding some scorch to a beer that you may not want to scorch, but it's only for, you know, me, Tom, Jim, and Bill in the tasting room. They won't hate me. Let's do it. You know what I mean? Does that inspiration speak to you? Can you flesh that out better than I'm doing it?
No. I can absolutely relate to that. I feel like I've continued to, I feel like I've gone through that time in my life, and like as a brewer, and like instead I continue to like go the opposite direction of like, you know, wanting to either A, make it stylistically correct, or B, make it the way that I feel like people should, people want to see that beer. And so, maybe in the time of like, even like as little as a year ago, when I was a much more focused, heavily draft beer brewery, like, I feel like we could make those types of, take those types of chances on, unpopular beer styles. And, right now we kind of have to like stick to things that we know is going to like, are going to do pretty well.
Yeah. Well, it's dire times everywhere. And as we illustrated at the top of the show, specifically in your part of the world,
This beer is interesting. I originally was thinking Schwartz beer. John mentioned dark brown ale, and, I can't disagree with that either. I don't feel like this beer is quite fruity enough to be kind of hitting in the ale category, but like at the same time, like, you know, we've all had a million different ales that don't have much, you know, ester production at all. So I don't know. I'm kind of split between like, you know, dark brown ale and or like, you know, kind of a take on a Schwartz beer.
Yeah, I want it to be a Schwartz Kölsch.
All right, you guys.
What is it?
This is Threes and Schilling collaboration called Precipice. It's an oak-aged Czech dark lager. And I was just looking at their website, Threes' website, and it said, suited for a long night of drinking from your favorite mug. And then they linked to the mug that Evan might be drinking from.
But no shit. That's funny. Wow, that's funny as hell.
Yeah. I bet you they sell more merchandise than we do with smart marketing like that.
I bet they do.
My question is,
four and a half.
Where's Kennedy? Why is Kennedy throwing a Threes beer at us every other episode?
He's on the payroll.
I had to look it up. It had been a while since I put a Threes beer to you guys. And the last one I did was a West Coast. You know what I did? I bought the same fucking beer. I bought their collaboration with Highland Park because I was going to send that to you guys. It was a West Coast IPA. And then I was like, oh, shit, I already sent them that beer.
would have been funny if we tasted it different.
But that was the last one I sent to you guys. But yeah, this
would have been awesome.
Yeah. So barring that I didn't have the perfect glassware like Evan does, good on you, Evan. I think you nailed it.
Sometimes even a squirrel gets a nut, you know? That's right. Look at that.
Anyway, fun beer. I would definitely, especially 4.3, and like I said, it's fucking Real Feel 17 here on the East Coast. I could see drinking a couple dozen of those over a day.
Yeah, I could see that.
For that 4.5% ABV.
And the best part
is they're good. You know, I think that the thing that I kept kind of pointing out in my own mind of kind of this slight harshy kind of roast thing, I think, you know, ends up being instead that oak tannin that like comes in and just bites a little bit. on the palate. And so, yeah, I was kind of, that was one of the things that I was having a really hard time with as we were drinking this blind, was like, what exactly is that? And I didn't, for whatever reason, like, you know, allow my mind to get to oak. And I think that totally makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. I love, so the problem is I poured number two and it's just a Citra bomb. So I'm losing all those little fruity notes, all those fruity notes I had on beer one. That was the thing I couldn't get my head around. And I liked that it's probably the oak tannin drying out the overall picture that made me go dried out wine and you go dried out coffee, but somewhere the two commonality was, you know what I mean? I feel like oak tannin in a weird place might give you that impression, or give us that impression. Anyway, we're not here to just talk about this beer, although that was a fun conversation.
We have a whole other beer to talk about.
Yeah, I love that this is Dark Czech Lager, by the way, because like I was having such a hard time believing that this was a Schwartz beer, even though that was like the first thing that I was thinking of. I was like, man, this is an interesting Schwartz beer. But the moment you say Dark Czech Lager, I feel like that really fits the bill in a good way, I think.
It's Blackvar.
Blackvar.
Anyway, so now we're done. Let's move off of, I opened up on a down topic and I didn't mean to do that, but I did want to catch up because I'm trying to wrap my head around California. But let's talk about lagers and hoppy. And so Justin gives me, without a doubt, the most interesting notes on everybody. But it seems, why do you hate gypsum? I mean, gypsum's such an innocuous, fun tool. Why would you say to Justin that you started off with a gypsum bite that you're trying to get out of? Talk to
that
me.
That was from another interview, not from something you did.
But talk to me about, we'll explain. So gypsum, guys at home, we've talked about Burtonizing on the show before, but gypsum is basically the quick, fastest way to harden your fucking water if you're looking for hard water. And I think as IPAs have evolved away from crystals, we've all evolved away from Burtonizing. And I think that's big picture, not detail. I'm not looking to have this argument. I think that's just kind of the mood, the way things go. And then Justin sends me this thing where it's like gypsum bite. And I'm like, what an interesting thing I must delve into. So tell us about your gypsum bite and what you've done to embrace, get around, avoid, bury, or enhance your gypsum bite.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. I'm sure that you guys can relate where as IPA was continuing to become something here in the States, you know, that more and more breweries were making, you know, for me personally, I originally had taken inspiration from England and was, you know, kind of going down this path of like crystal malt and creating some significant body with that and some flavor, and then drying out that that body and that crystal malt with some gypsum hit, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talked about this, you know, a lot of whatever homebrew books I was reading at the time or whatever else. And so anyway, I think it's an interesting thing. I think a lot of brewers of, you know, 15, 20 years ago, you know, were all kind of doing this thing. Maybe it's, you know, beers like Arrogant Bastard that like, you know, helped inspire that. But I like to think like, you know, maybe, you know, earlier Union Jack, I'd be curious what Matt would say has changed with that beer. But you know, I think brewers overall didn't really understand how to combat that drying effect that gypsum has in their beer. And instead of trying to understand their water profile more, they just used more crystal malt or caramel, you know, some kind of dextrinous malt in order to add body to try to balance that aspect of it. I know for me personally, the moment that I started understanding water better, I started using chloride in to make my IPAs, and it was kind of within that time frame of continuing to like take crystal malt out, bring chloride up, until I finally ended up in this spot to where there was just no crystal malt at all, and realizing that you can just balance out that sulfate bite with chloride. And so I just end up preferring it more, you know. I think yeah. like, the moment that you're adding crystal malt to an IPA, you're making it taste older than it is. And like even tasting these beers straight out of the bright tank or whatever, it still tastes older than it is. And so yeah, I think that, like, you know, I still like sulfate, and I absolutely use it as a tool. I think for IPA right now, it's like slight, like for the IPAs that we make at Green Cheek, we're at a balanced profile for the most part, but it slightly goes towards sulfate a touch, just to like help dry further, but like not to like a noticeable level.
Right.
And so, yeah, I still think it's an excellent tool, especially like in high ABV, like West Coast IPAs and stuff. So I know the moment that we're doing like a double IPA that's clear and bitter, we're using a shit ton of sulfate in those beers, mm-hmm. Just to help dry them out and lighten the body. And so, yeah, I think it's an excellent tool. I just, when it comes to just standard American IPA, I would rather just balance out the sulfate and not use any crystal malt.
Understood. Yeah, it's funny, from our inception, we didn't use crystal because we didn't think it worked with what we were trying to do. And our base malt at home is actually Bow Pills, even our IPA-est IPAs. So every now and then when I want to soften up a beer, New England it per se, we have to actually commit to two row as a different base malt for us. So,
oh, sure.
So we never did that. But when I was reading it, I was like, this is awesome, because looking at us from the West, I know that that's where, you know, you got to think even the greatest of the great classic pales, and even as they've evolved, but you know, there's got to be some additions to harden the water out there, right? Do you guys have a typically softer water, or
the
general water profile up and down the coast?
Yeah, the general profile is sulfate rich, and so you know, I think, which is one of the reasons why, you know, I think California became so well known for IPAs. Was that there was already this thing in the water that brewers didn't quite fully understand at the time.
Right. So when guys like Greg were going for the IBU war, they would have to gypsum the fuck out of their beers to get it to show, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, pH is such a huge part of bitterness too, that,
I'm going to get this wrong, because I always go the wrong way on pH. But when you gypsum, you're lowering the pH of your mash water, right? You're acidifying, not basing, right?
Yeah, because you're putting, it's the calcium that's put to work in that
without
situation.
Without my math, I never, you know what I mean? I'm like, wait, did I go the wrong way again? Which way? Higher is lower, lower is higher. Anyway, go on.
So, you know, in gypsum, calcium, sulfate, the calcium is the part that brings the pH down in the mash.
Right.
And then, you know, you can go further if you're kind of hitting your target sort of parts per million on your water profile by just using something like lactic acid to bring the pH further.
So basically every recipe I write starts with 4% acidulated malt, just to avoid everything we're talking about, right? Because I think that does a fine job. And then sometimes we have to correct from there, but out by you guys, you would probably need a lot more than just that little bit, right? Just, yeah, you know, I mean, just because of your foundation, unless you're totally like ROing your water.
Yeah, we use RO at Green Cheek okay. for
neat.
West Coast
IPAs. That's not cheap.
And
Jesus, man, you built an expensive fucking brewery to have a.
Well, I don't know if we didn't get into this, but both of our breweries actually are breweries that had failed and we bought. And so we didn't have to build anything.
I guess you. So yeah.
It takes too much time, too much money. And
but man, wait, you found a brewery with an RO system in it to just pick up? That's fucking good on you. Yeah,
California, man. It's the OC.
I mean, yeah, I guess. It is the OC. Like I said, the sunny one, not the motorcycle one.
It's the OC.
Hey, speaking of breweries that are still in operation and producing beer, putting it into cans that are going to a bodega and then being packed up and sent across the country and around the world. Yes, let's talk about beer too.
It's a hazy boy. How about that? Can I just stop there?
Yeah.
Somebody made a hazy boy?
It's a... perfectly.
I had a lot more hope for this beer than I think it shows.
Oh,
really?
I really like it.
So this is a brewery that Justin is not on the payroll for
yet. Justin was really hoping to get paid here.
They've
Justin's
been on the
like,
show,
oh, they're gonna love this one. It's so lush.
Oh, they've been on the show.
They've been on the show. Yeah,
it's a pretty fun beer. I mean, I feel like it's still drinking pretty bright. All things considered, being shipped across the country. And man, it's kind of this cool tweener between a hazy IPA and a West Coast IPA in my mind.
So let me ask you about that. Wait, before you go on, there's an interesting greenness to this beer. And my problem is, since I'm almost sure I can guess the hops, like pretty close to accurately, I'm wondering if it's how they got them in there, right? Is that what you mean by the West Coast bit? Because that bitterness to me isn't like 60-minute or 10-minute edition bitterness. It's like a giant plug of pellets was thrown in, like as if somebody didn't shake the bucket when they dumped the pedals in the top. They just dropped a giant bucket. It fell right through the middle, greened it, and that was where the structure they're building around. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense in what your taste?
Yeah, no, that's weird.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah, that's a weird thing to say, but I.
Well, I'm an imaginative guy.
But it seems to me like big late edition, maybe cool whirlpool, like. But then also the biggest thing is that that dry hop. Sort of hop bite that comes along from not finding the beer or anything like that. And so it lingers a little bit. It's a little resinous, but mainly just kind of for me, like that sort of unfiltered sort of hop bite.
Yeah, there's a fun little pineapple thing on the very, very end of it, like a warm, over fermented pineapple. Which, I'm guessing is Mosaic, but just
shows up in a nice way. You don't mind the Mosaic in this? Because you usually do.
Well, the way that I was sort of thinking about this beer is in a DDH world, this is a lowercase d. Like it's not quite as aggressive as some of the others that we've had in the past or that people kind of go for. So this to me is just, it's.
I would drink
the whole can of this.
Yeah, what I'm really intrigued by is what's not got Justin. Because to me, this is like I'm actually making a beer just like this right now. Like we're literally just fucking around because we wanted to, and we were just talking about when I bring two row in, I've got to use it. I have a whole bunch of extra two row, so we're putting together a DDH double New England. I'm calling Echo Chamber because it's this beer, right? So the bill we put together is a lot of Echinot with some Citra and some Galaxy. I'm guessing this is actually Mosaic, Citra, and Galaxy or something like that. And, you know, when we're done, I'm going for a little plush in this, that green plug. I wouldn't necessarily want to be there for this one because I do that on other beers. But this to me just tastes like one of those, right? Like, and the, I like those. So there's nothing wrong with making one of those. I'm not being mean to it when I say it's just a plush Citra IPA, but it's whoever this one, this is their plush Citra Mosaic. And
there is like
I'd
a
be
fun,
happy with it.
Yeah,
my problem more, with it, yeah. My problem with it is because it drinks nicely. If it's 9 or 10, I can't let it in the house. If
it's
this
only,
is a,
it's only 6. So this
okay,
is
okay. Well, don't ruin it. But what I'm saying is, if it's a 6, then this is a lovely beer to have in the house because it's just a Citra Pale Ale, right? It's just a good Citra Pale Ale.
Yeah. So this is a 6%. They call it an IPA. It's from Westkill Brewing in the Catskills. It's called Cotterskill IPA.
It's Cotterskill. Hold on.
Cotterskill. So we've had or Patrick on the show before, back when we used to do this in person, and it is dry hopped with Citra, Mosaic, Azaka, and Columbus.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, I think what's crazy about this beer is I'm looking at the bottom of the can right now because I just opened it up, and I mean, this was canned November 18th of last year, and like, I'm pretty impressed by
like
how good this is drinking. Like this is drinking like pretty fresh beer. So like these guys are doing some shit right. And
Cass, do you guys can them?
Yeah, we can.
No. I'm talking to Brian Cass.
One of our guys.
What's the beer?
Cotterskill.
Oh yeah, that's some good shit.
Put the bomb down, Cass.
A must visit if you were up in the Catskills, not too far
from Florida. So Thieves, Ironheart, Kansas beer. Anyway, so Justin, what did you want it to be that it wasn't? Because it seems so spot on.
I thought it was gonna. What Evan touched on this a little bit. He said that you know he thought it was a good kind of hybrid West Coast New England IPA. I thought it was going to be a little bit more West Coast. I think a little bit more balanced. But I really enjoy it. I think it's good. I think it's easy drinking. I think the carbonation level could have been a little bit higher, but maybe
okay. That's fair. I would agree with that.
It's a little flat. Yeah.
Well, maybe this drinks a lot like the, I don't know if you guys have had much of the beers from Cellar Maker, but
yeah.
There's this Tim and Cellar Maker, really goes for these much softer IPAs that like here in California, they were the first hazy IPAs that were around, and he didn't end up, you know, going for these like fuller bodied and richer hazy IPAs that are really popular now. And instead this kind of tweener IPA that I think they call a hazy West Coast is the terminology. And anyway, the it has that like that big dry hop, you know, sort of pellety hop bite thing to it, but then without that sort of structured bitterness that you expect in a West Coast IPA. And so I dig what this is, and I'm super impressed. This is 2 months old. Like that's hats off.
I worry that you're worried about 2 months on a 6% Citra Pale Ale. Like I think the sweet spot on them is day 3 to day 45.
Whoa. Yeah, I'm like it needs to be drank within 3 weeks. And I think the best beer I'm going to ever have is straight off of the Bright Tank.
Wow.
I would yell every day afterwards.
Do you have a centrifuge?
Us? No.
Okay. Interesting.
We do everything, I don't know, the old fashioned way. We don't use pumps to transfer beer. We just push with CO2. I guess it's not the most old fashioned, but
Very chemic, you know. Very chemic of you. I like it.
But I don't
I like that approach.
Yeah, but I don't. I want the gentlest transfer so that we can hopefully hold on to some head retention and some aromatics.
Yeah, I I definitely appreciate that. Like I said, one of the greatest beers in the world is made under those beliefs. So there's no way that's wrong. But for us, like, I think we worked very hard to set our aromatics where they should be, using a couple different tools, including a Rolec and a Hopback and a centrifuge and so on and so forth, to just make sure that it is exactly where it should be, where it goes in the can, and it stays there for at least 3 months. So I think this is great, this beer, and I think a lot of it has to do with very low DO canning. So Cass, pat yourself on the back. But yeah, this is where I expect a Citra Pale to be 2 months out. I think they did a great job. I think it's funny though that somehow Kennedy was expecting a more Western core to a beer from the Catskills, because I can't imagine more east part of the world.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I had different hopes for it.
Oh, Kennedy, it's a lovely beer. Stop hating
it. It was a nice beer, yeah.
Anyway, I appreciate all this. Do you have a letter for us to tie this episode up? Because we've already run way over like sloppy people.
No one has written us letters in 2021 except for people wanting to advertise on the show. And we
a lot
all know
of people
we don't
are doing that, though.
Any good advertisers?
Not a single.
Who do we got? We got like the Cigar Club?
Great interview topics for us. Like, hey, we know a guy that makes whiskey and he opened. So, John, do you know that you can't make bourbon in less than 4 years?
I prefer mine to go a little bit longer, but yes.
But you know that you can't do it in less than four. Like the bourbon rules are it's not bourbon until it's been in a barrel for 4 years.
Yeah.
So we just got an ad from somebody who wants us to interview their bourbon maker who's been open for 2 years. And I was like, you can fuck right off for 730 days.
Oh, my God.
That's where we're at mail-wise. So, hey, thieves, write us letters. Anyway, let's not skip too far.
I think we should read some of those on the next show.
It was really nice to talk to you. I hope California helps you either reopen or make it easier to be closed. That part of the show had me a little bummed. The rest of the show, I love talking to somebody with ideas and opinions and ways to make beer the right way. So keep that fucking part up. That's the best part. Hopefully.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah. We're just trying to, we're just trying to get by, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that everyone's trying to do the same thing right now of just trying to survive during this. These unprecedented times, and it's like, dude, who has the right answers? Like, I don't know who has the right answers to, you know, to any one of these things that are going on right now. And it's like, I feel super fortunate that people keep supporting us. We have a drive-through set up at both spots to where it's just like, couldn't be easier for people just to drive up and just get out of there as soon as possible and everything. And so
that's so cool. You're like the in and out of semi hazy California beer. I love it.
Yeah, I actually worked at In-N-Out.
Did you really? Is it true they put mustard on one side of the patties?
That's only for animal style.
Got you.
So
yeah,
style burger, they'll like, you know, they actually grill mustard into the meat. So like on the grill, they throw mustard on there and then they grill mustard into the burger.
See, now the truth be known. Truth, that's it. I hope you didn't sign your exit paperwork because they're gonna come at you. anyway, I will try to wrap it up with it. Definitely, it's the scariest, most confusing times for all of us with small businesses, but it definitely sounds like you know the beers you want to be making, and a year into this fucking shit show, you're still doing that. And if anything is going to get you through, it's that. So stick to those guns and let the fucking world sort itself out, because the beers, you know, I like the idea of pushing with gas and being gentle and babying your hops, so keep doing that.
No, thanks, please, man. Yeah, I gotta send some beer out to you guys, and you know, hopefully,
dude, and don't send it to Cass. You got to send it right to us. If you send it to Cass, it gets traded for other shit, and all of a sudden, I've got like new Jordan ones instead of beer, and I don't need more Jordan ones. I need more beer.
Yeah, Kennedy, give me my address.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, Cass, it's your time of the show where you tell people how to give John Hall Jordan 1 money.
Yes. If you would like to donate to Hall Shoe Collection, patreon.com/stealthisbeer. If you would like to write us about mustard based burgers from California, steal this beer. Also, follow us on all social media at Steal This Beer. That's Untappd, Facebook, Twitter, because we're not banned. Instagram. Yeah, I think
topical.
That's
topical. All right. Anyway, thanks Evan. Y'all. Evan, thank you for joining us. Hang in there. Keep fighting the good fight and making the good beers.
Man. Thanks for having me.
How do they get to your drive-ins? Are you on the Instas?
Yeah. Just check us out. At Green Cheek Beer is our main Instagram. Our second location is Green Cheek Beer 2. Which is T-O-O, you know.
Oh, and, like
also.
Yeah, the old also thing. And we got a website like everyone else, I don't know what to say. Yeah.
You've nailed it. Let's let it go.
Perfect.
You nailed it. It can only get worse from here. And then Cass will start trading your shit before he even gets it. He's a pre-trader.
Yeah. Doesn't even drink the liquid. He just trades it for the
joy of trading. Anyway, be good, man. Hey, get at us, y'all.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.